This past week, of course, history was made with the election of a brand new pope, I believe the 266th pope, successor of St. Peter. And of course, it's the Holy Spirit inspiring the cardinals have chosen for us the first Jesuit pope, which of course is a first, and then the first pope from the Southern Hemisphere, the first pope from the New World, from the Americas, and of course the first pope that chose the name Francis, which I'm of course very pleased about. Of course, there's only two priests in the diocese who also bear that name. And of course, it seems that from what we've read about him, he's certainly a very well-educated, brilliant, and yet very humble and holy man who's been living a life of simplicity and prayer, and of course, very strong as well. So we will pray for him that he will be such a wonderful and good shepherd to guide the church, the 1.2 billion Catholics throughout the world. And so let's remember to pray for him as he begins his papacy. Well, there was a man and woman having dinner at a very expensive French restaurant. And as the waiter came over to take their order, the man sitting there sort of slipped and slid under the table. And in 20 years of being the waiter had never seen anything like this. And he said, "Excuse me, ma'am, your husband just slipped under the table." And she said, "No, no, my husband just came through that door." Today we have the woman caught in adultery. And it's, if you take a look at your missalettes, take a look at your gospels today, because it's just a very powerful story of God's forgiveness, God's love, God's compassion. When we take a look at this passage, we see that the scribes and Pharisees had most likely set this woman up because she was caught in the very act of adultery. And they wanted to trap the Lord. They wanted to get him arrested. They wanted to get rid of the Lord. And so they were always trying to figure out ways to trap him, to get the Lord into trouble, either with the Roman authorities or with the followers of the faith, of Judaism. And so when the Lord was teaching in the temple area one morning, it says they brought a woman in who had been caught in the very act of adultery. Well, how did they catch her in this act? Obviously, they had most likely set her up. And if they had been truly sincere about, you know, God's justice, they would have brought the man as well. Did you ever notice that? That where was the man in all this? And so they just brought the woman, because what they wanted to do was to trap the Lord, because they said this woman was caught in the act of adultery, and according to the law of Moses, she must be stoned. What do you have to say for this, Jesus? What shall we do with this woman? See, they thought they had the Lord in a trap. Because would he violate the law of Moses and disregard and disobey the law of Moses? Or if he said, okay, follow the law of Moses, well, then he would be arrested by the Romans for carrying out the death penalty, because only the Romans were allowed to bring about the death penalty. So they thought they had the Lord trapped. Either he would violate the law of Moses or he'd violate the law of Rome. And so what does the Lord do? Well, of course, the Lord knows their hypocrisy. The Lord knows that, you know, they are just trying to trap him. And so he bends down and begins to write on the ground. He was sort of ignoring them by doing this. And then they continued to ask him. And again, the Lord continued to write on the ground. And the Lord said, "Let the one among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." What a powerful answer. Yes, she was sinful. She was guilty. But God alone is to bring about the punishment. God alone is to judge her. And again, he continued to write on the ground, in the dust, in the sand, to trace his finger. Well, what was the Lord writing? Well, many of the saints and scripture scholars say that perhaps the Lord had begun to write out the Ten Commandments. The Lord had begun to write out each one. And as the people gazed upon these commandments, they realized, well, maybe they had not committed one of them, but they had violated one of the other commandments. And one by one, they walked away. Maybe the Lord began to write out names and addresses of some places where these elderly had visited, perhaps for sinful purposes. And again, that began to examine their conscience. They began to realize that they had been guilty of sins. And so, whether the Lord wrote out commandments or wrote out certain things that would remind people of their own sins, one by one, they went away. One by one, they walked away, beginning with the eldest, because they were more aware of their sins. Eventually, everyone was gone, and it was only the Lord left with this woman. And says, "Where are your accusers? Has no one condemned you?" And she said, "No one, sir." And then, now Jesus speaks, the only one who could condemn her, because he was the only innocent one there. And he says, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." See, what we have here is the old teaching that is still true, that we must love the sinner but hate the sin. Sin is the worst thing in the world. It offends God. It hurts our relationship with God. It hurts the church. It hurts the family. It hurts marriages. Sin is like cancer. Sin is the worst thing in the world. It's cancer of the soul. So we have to get rid of it through going to confession and repenting. And so the Lord said, "Go and sin no more." He didn't say she didn't sin. She did sin. But he absolved her and forgave her. And why was the Lord, it seems, so merciful, so compassionate towards her? And the answer is because Jesus was willing to die in her place. Jesus was willing to suffer for her. That's why the Lord could be so forgiving, so loving, so compassionate, because he was willing to pay the price for her sins. As the great Bishop Sheen says, "But why did he not condemn her? Because he would be condemned for her. Innocence would not condemn, because innocence would suffer for the guilty. Justice would be saved, for he would pay the price of her sins. Mercy would be saved, for the merits of his death would apply to her soul. Justice is first, then mercy. First the satisfaction, then the pardon." Our Lord really was the only one in that crowd who had the right to take up the stone and execute judgment against her, because he was without sin. On the other hand, he did not make light of sin, for he assumed its burdens. Forgiveness costs something, and the full price would be paid on the hill of the three crosses, where justice would be satisfied and mercy extended. So when you look up at the crucifix, you see Jesus paid the price for her sins. He was willing to shed his blood so she did not have to be killed and stoned on that day. See, this is where the Lord brings justice and mercy together. And that is what the Lord is. The Lord is perfect love, perfect justice. And when love tempers justice, we call that mercy. Why was the Lord so compassionate towards her? Because he would go to the cross in her place. If you want to see a very, I think probably one of the greatest scenes in the movie The Passion of the Christ that came out a few years ago, is the scene of the scourging of our Lord, and when you see the Blessed Mother and the holy women mopping up the blood of Christ, it has flashbacks to this woman caught in adultery. And it was such a brilliant movie, because it showed the how the Lord's blood shed for her was what forgave her. And so again, it's one of the greatest scenes in that movie where we truly see why the Lord could be so, it seems, forgiving towards her. And it's because he was willing to die for her. So I'd recommend, again, I think the reason why the church gives us this powerful reading during Lent is again to remind us of repentance, of going to confession, of being forgiven for our sins. Because, you know, every time we go to confession and we're absolved from sins, we don't see it, but invisibly, the blood of Christ washes away our sins. That's what happens when we go to confession. But the Bible says, though our sins be like scarlet, they become white as wool. Though they be crimson red, they become white as wool. So what happens in confession? When you receive absolution, the blood of Christ invisibly washes over us, washes over the person, and absolves our sins. So every time we repent and go to confession, we are forgiven by the blood of Christ. It's applied to us and washes us clean, just as it washed this woman clean in today's gospel.